This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Shoot you hour for G-Bank Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers baseball now 28 minutes away. It's time to get a win streak started, and they're in Boston tonight. Salute to Josh Young, who joined us just a couple hours ago there in the 320. Had a nice baseball conversation with him, and we'll talk with Sands more about what the Rangers got to do tonight here coming up shortly. But here's the Chief with an addition of the finest.
Okay, we're going to welcome Jared Sandler into the conversation here because he's going to go to bat for his guy. His guy is now actually his rival. It's going to be very difficult for him to juxtapose his own Packers fandom with his infatuation with Caleb Williams, who actually might already be the best quarterback to ever wear a Bears uniform. Before we get there, I do need to mention, okay, do you guys remember the new kickoff rules? If you kick it out of the end zone for a touchback, where does the team get the ball?
30-yard line.
Yeah. Well, the average starting line right now through one weekend of preseason football
28.
On ones 29. That actually get returned is 29.
Yeah.
So if that's going to be the case, then we're going to be seeing a ton of touchbacks. Because why are you, I mean, why would you risk giving up a kickoff return for a touchdown when you know on average they're returning the ball to the 29-yard line, and if you just give them the ball with a touchback, they're going to get it at the 30. So why would I even risk the fact that they could make that 29 yards and go to the house with it? I mean, they're going to have to figure something out if it stands throughout all of preseason and maybe early into the regular season that, in general, these kick returns are going to the 29-yard line. Then everybody's just going to boot it out of the end zone and say, then just take it at the 30. We won't risk giving up a touchdown on the return. So just something interesting that we found.
I think it's worth noting for sure, small sample size, but I bet it's going to hold, like watching how the play develops. For the first couple, I got this feeling like I want the old kickoffs back. I don't think we've helped it any. Hmm. We're going away from what's familiar to us. I would love if we could just have the kickoffs of the 80s, but we can't do that anymore. It'll be interesting to see how they tweak this.
It did look weird. I mean, it's going to take some getting used to, but I guess there's certain teams that don't have a kicker with the leg to be always able to boot that thing back for a touchback, so those teams might be at a disadvantage.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking is the thing in the 80s and even the 90s, Brian, you could probably talk more in depth about this, but a lot of the kickers couldn't consistently hit the end zone.
Not at all.
I don't know how far you got to take them back to be like, okay, today's booters can't get it all the way in there, and now you have a live play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think the league wants you kicking the ball in the end zone. They're doing this with the intent of they want to see more returns. And if everybody kind of figures out that, well, we can just kick it out of the end zone and put the ball in the 30, that's fine. But, man, I think the league will mess with it again if all of a sudden everybody just keeps kicking the ball out of the end zone. They want to see some action. They did have more returns though than they've had in the past. But like you say, teams have got to figure out, because I just am watching the way these things are. If you could get one block and get that guy through, if you could figure out if somebody could scheme it up where, okay, we're gonna double one guy out. We're gonna double the second guy inside, but give yourself some type of a lane. All you need is just a little bit, and that ball. Because I've seen some of these practices where they've kept the ball on the move, and the ball's ended up at like the 40-yard line. It's ended up at the 50. Like, oh, that could have been a touchdown right there. So if you have a kicker or a punter who can kick it in the end zone every time, I guess that's the case. But if you're gonna have to play some. If you're going to have to play some defense against it, man, some of those teams might be in trouble.
All right, we have USC alum and lover of Caleb Williams in studio right now, live with us. His name is Jared Sandler. Jared, you are fired up for Caleb Williams. You're a Packers fan, but he is now a Chicago Bear. That's going to be a challenge. If he ends up being a great quarterback, you're going to be like loving and hating everything that happens with him and your rival Bears. But he is a quarterback from USC. He's the number one overall pick, ultra talented. One preseason game so far, 7 attempts, and they all looked pretty gorgeous.
Looked damn good.
And so Jared Sandler is here to tell us that Caleb Williams is going to be the greatest quarterback of all time, and there's no questions as to whether or not he is going to be great. Do you have any concerns about Caleb Williams?
None.
There's no doubt.
My biggest concern is that the Bears find a way to screw up every person who plays the quarterback position, unless There is no real unless, right? I mean, Jim McMahon was able to win games there, but it wasn't like he was some stud dominant quarterback. I don't know. I mean, I would like to think he's talented enough to where the Bears wouldn't be able to screw him up, but that's legitimately my only concern. I understand, oh, he cried. He showed emotion. We can nitpick all we want. The guy's got this unbelievable collection of skills with his arm strength, accuracy, ability to throw on the run, ability to improvise. He did it without any offensive line talent last year. He was constantly run away from defenders mode. And if the biggest complaint is that he cried to his mom when he lost a game that was going to eliminate them from the ability to win the conference, then so we're going to get mad at him because he showed emotion and he cares? Like, that's what we're going to get mad at him for?
I'm not mad at him, but I do question a grown man running to his mom and crying after a game.
So my question
I've never seen it before at the quarterback spot.
What's the difference between that and all the guys who go into the locker room and cry? Which happens a ton.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference in doing something in public than it is behind closed doors. Some things are meant to be behind closed doors.
Could you not then say, well, he has the confidence to do it and he doesn't care? Like, it just doesn't matter. Like, I guess I don't understand what the difference really is from the standpoint of, like, this guy is not going to be who we think he is because he chose to cry in public versus in private.
Well, like, I'm not like the 407 who says Caleb Williams is a total tool and will flame out. I don't necessarily think that. I mean, he is unbelievable on the field. So I don't think he's just going to be a terrible quarterback, but I do think it's fair to have some questions on how his personality, his maturity, and his leadership is going to galvanize his team. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was all false rumors and stuff about how some of his teammates at USC weren't huge fans of his. I'm sure you would have a different perspective of that because you know plenty of people over there. But, I mean, that you're not seeing that about quarterbacks that come out all the time. Like, maybe his teammates don't actually like him.
So I've heard, and Broadus, I'd be curious what you've heard. I had heard otherwise, right? You know, now I did not dig and do investigative reporting for three straight months the way an NFL GM might or like Kevin Costner would have, you know, in draft day. But yeah. I had heard otherwise. And, you know, I remember when he flew his entire line to the Heisman ceremony and everyone then was talking about how great of a teammate he is and all that stuff. Now, I'll tell you, last year was an incredibly disappointing year for USC. Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be their year to make the playoff for the first time. And, you know, we always say that winning cures things, right? Well, when you fail to meet expectations as a team, and it was not Caleb, it was the team that maybe not, you know, everyone's not all joyous and happy, and maybe that contributed. But my understanding is that was not, he is not a problem in the locker room, but I don't know. I mean, I'll defer to you guys and to Broadus, who, you know, I'm sure you've boots on the ground heard a little bit more than I have.
I couldn't believe how bad his defense was.
So bad.
They're awful.
That's where I felt like, and I almost felt like watching Mahomes at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
With him, I'm like, how much is he going to have to do to bail this sorry-ass defense out today? You know, there were plenty of games where they had enough points. I mean, they're playing Colorado. They're a better football team than Colorado. And they are fighting to get a win in Boulder because they can't stop anybody, you know? And so I haven't heard anything about the teammate aspect of it all. I know that people who have interviewed him, coaches that talk to him and stuff like that, they find him very, very unique. Maybe
he definitely is. He's different.
Maybe
he's
a different, little for different.
Sure. The finger paw, the nails, but being very, painted, all that.
But very locked in. They when they put him through, you know, the paces of the combine stuff and all that. I mean, when people got to talk to him a little bit, and I know he didn't take visits and all those things, but people who have had chances to visit with him, coaches, say he's really, really a locked in guy. So I was amazed how much he was able to pull that USC team out of the ditch when their defense was awful.
He is, and I'm saying this with a straight face, he is the best quarterback that I have seen at USC. Now, I miss the Leinart era, right? But they've had a lot of guys who are supposed to be good, and it's not even close. And to be honest with you, when I watched him, I saw a lot of Aaron Rodgers And I see a lot of what we see from Patrick Mahomes, the ability to throw on the run. To be, you know, I think the Jared Cook pass that Aaron Rodgers made. I'm not saying Caleb made that pass in that big a moment, but that is the type of thing that he would do. Throw on the run, hit a spot perfectly, just... It looked different. Now, maybe he's going to crash and burn in the NFL. If we're being serious, sure, hey, anything can happen. I doubt it.
I doubt it. I think he's going to have success. He's the best USC quarterback I've seen since looking at this since 92.
Yeah, wow. And Broadus, I've heard people tell me that, you know, they followed USC for beyond the best.
Oh, I could go back to I could go back to Pat Hayden. I could go back to Rodney Pete. I could go back to Paul McDonald. I could go back to a lot of these guys. This is the best USC quarterback that I've seen.
All righty, Brian. Sants, good conversation. Chief, thank you so much. Coming up next, it's time for Jared's Rangers preview, and we'll get you set as the Rangers visit the Red Sox for Game 2 of their series coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and it's time now for Sands' Rangers preview. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for your free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's a Jared's Rangers preview brought to us by Blue Nail Roofing. And a good good afternoon/evening. Jared, how the heck are you?
Dawson, I'm great. Wish the Rangers could get a win.
I do too. Do you think they're bummed they didn't sell? Do you think anybody's bummed over there they didn't sell?
I'm sure the people who oversee the minor leagues and you know, the prospects and the guys they get in the draft are like their babies to try and grow. Those are the seeds that they get to you know, play with. I'm sure that to some degree they're like, gosh, you know, give us some guys to work with, but I don't think the players are. I think the players are so uber locked in on trying to win that they support. They were pining for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We had this story, you know, that, well, they let Brock Burke go. The Angels claim him. And could there be others, I think, is what Bob Nightingale was maybe suggesting in his article. Could they seriously, like, let go of quality players down the stretch here just for salary relief? Is that an actual thing?
Yeah, I think to answer that, I would have to be in these conversations and meetings with ownership. You know, to whatever degree they want to try and save some money, I guess. You know, that would be the benefit. You're not getting anything back other than saving some money, maybe, you know, putting yourself in a different spot financially heading into the offseason. But, you know, if you want to save a month's worth of salary for a guy, I mean, I don't see them doing it with someone who's got control beyond this year. So, you know, a month's worth of salary, I guess if that makes a difference, I'm not smart enough to know the answer to that, but I guess so.
I mean, I guess as a fan, if you can free up so much money that you can become a player in free agency and it gets to 9-10 games, I wouldn't have the biggest issue with that if it's a meaningful amount of cash.
Yeah, and I guess the counter to that, Dawson, is you would hope that being in a major market that wouldn't be the trigger for that. That you know, you're going to be having some money come off the books anyway, that you're in a position to compete financially, but obviously this TV situation is so up in the air that, you know, I guess that really is a big part of those conversations.
So DeGrom was pretty great yesterday. What'd you gather?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I mean, the velocity's there. Apparently the stuff was moving really well. You know, the slider, he looks like a guy who is going to be a problem next year for hitters.
How would you anticipate they handle this whenever he comes back?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to pitch. I know we talked about it the other day. I think there's too much value in just getting him on the mound, even if it's, you know, three innings at a time. And if they're not playing for anything, and obviously it's heading in that direction, they're not going to feel the need to try and stretch him out. They might just be really, you know, hey, let's go three innings every 5 days and go from there.
Jared's Ranger preview brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. The pregame is now just 5 minutes away here on your home of the champs. Need some wins in a hurry. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control and Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Thanks to Brian Broadus live in the tennis courts in Oxnard, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. And, of course, for Woolchuck and Schiafalo, I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan.